Leafs talk, JD Bunkus, Sam McKee. Leafs lose again, three straight. They get booed off the ice again. Well, I don't know if they got booed off this time, but there were certainly boo birds. There's a lot to this one, buddy. And given the nature of our text exchanges tonight, I think I'll let you start.
Okay. I got a very specific complaint here.
Sure. I have a very specific complaint, too. So today will be airing
off. It's coming off the end of that game that we just watched. Mm-hmm. You're down 4-1 with 2 minutes left in the game. Mm-hmm. The game is capital O over. It is over. Why are you pulling the goalie and putting all the stars out there on a night like tonight? What kind of message does that send to anybody? Like, there was 2 minutes left in the game. They bring out Wall and they got the six guys out there. Like, there's any chance of them getting back in the game. Mm-hmm. Like, send a message. What are you doing? Like, there is just, it's just telling me, I'm watching this. I'm like, there is just simply no chance. And they, with 40 seconds left, they put like the underlings in. Lorenz was out there. Bobby McMahon's out there. Get those guys out for the last 3 minutes. What kind of message do you send to your, you know, the people, the other guys on your team and like the fans in a building who are still left there, that after the night and this effort and this game, that you're going to put them out there with that time left? It was absurd. I don't know. Maybe that's stupid, but I just like, that drove me crazy.
No, dude, I had a similar thought. I don't think it's crazy because I was sitting there in the third period going, all right, I know you're chasing the game, right? Like, I understand that you're down some goals and you don't want to just give up on the game. But I had a similar feeling of sometimes you lose the battle, but you win the war. Right? Like, yep. You weren't getting it. You weren't going to get three pucks by Jake Oettinger on a balance of probabilities. You're losing three straight games. And frankly, I thought they're like awful in William Nylander. And you ended up playing him 22 minutes. Marner's playing 22 minutes. Matthews hit 20 minutes. You know, Tavares is a little bit under that, but those core three guys all hit the 20 or more mark. And I'm thinking, yeah, but what impact did they have on the game? Like, where was the dangerous, threatening moments? Where was the attention to detail tonight? Where was the urgency? It was there in the first 10 minutes of the game, right? They came out like gangbusters. They outshot them 5-0. Wohl lets in the softie, which just cannot happen, killed the momentum. And you blame him for sort of the shift in tide in that period. But when you go into the intermission, it's 1-1, you know? Mm-hmm. You get a bad call against you and a goal goes in. And like, you know, there's obviously ref talk there when it comes to the softness of that penalty that results in the 2-1 goal. Like, it's still a hockey game. And where did the chances go? Where did the urgency go? Where did the fire go for those players? And for all of them to, like, for Nylander to at one point just, like, get double shifted when they split the Matthews-Marner line for a second there, I'm like, I had the same thought as you. Like, not as much so with necessarily, like, the goaltending pull, even though I agree with your take on it.
What are you pulling the goalie for?
Yeah.
With two minutes left.
Like, okay.
What are you doing? Like, take your loss. Put the fourth liners out and take your loss. Like, it's just an absurd decision.
Puts Lorenz up on the first line, right?
Yeah.
And that line generates a goal early on in the game. And then they go to sleep, obviously, and you are chasing the game. So I don't hate the idea of, like, you moving pieces around. But Lorenz ends up playing 10 minutes. And you and I are Steven Lorenz fans, but neither of us thinks that he should be on the first line. Like, that's pretty clear and obvious that he's not that. You don't want a guy who has to tell the first line players, hey, be patient with me. When he's joining the group there. But ultimately, like, the message you tried to send and putting him up there, it didn't even result in a slight shift in his normal ice time.
I can't, like, I said it on Kipper and Bourne today. I'll say it here again. I was just really, really stunned that is the decision that they made to put Steven Lorenz on the top line. You have two guys on your team that are making a combined almost, what, $24 million between Marner and Matthews. And you have to put a guy that you signed to a PTO up there to quote unquote, get them going and win pucks for them and do this stuff. Like, what? I can't understand in what world that is something that you need to do. You know what you need to do? You need to put them all in separate lines for once. Mm-hmm. You need to do something different. It's just when they lose, it's like, oh, they got down 4-1 and whatever. Then he's like, oh, now it's time to start shuffling the lines. Try that when you're down 2-1. Try that when the game's tied. Try that before the game. Like, I don't know. He waits until it's really late in these games, Berube, to make these adjustments. And I don't understand why that is. Like, it's not like they were going. It's not like they were on fire to start the game.
The thing is, it waits
really
long
to make the adjustments. Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
It's like, but the adjustment is the old Keefe adjustment. Like, this was what Sheldon Keefe did early on, which is like, okay, we're down. We just got to throw the stars out there every shift, double shift. Like, you end up with 22 minutes. It's like, it's January in a condensed schedule and these guys aren't playing very well and you're riding them. And I thought, like, late in the game, it's over at this point, right? Like, who cares?
It's over when the third goal goes in.
What?
It's older when the third goal goes in the way they're scoring right
now. Yeah, like, for sure. But
never felt
I thought
more
there
over.
Was a moment where it was like the fourth line went out there and it's Camp and it's Dewar and they're trying to like grind and chip away. And I'm like, yeah, it would have been nice to have a little bit of that energy at some point there, right? Like, to have a couple of those guys, the grinders and the diggers and the dudes that just like give you a pretty consistent effort level, would get a shift or two rather than just have it be like the rolling of essentially two lines. Well, three, because it's like Domi keeps going out there for God knows what reason. I have no idea why Berube watched Domi tonight and thought, oh, okay, well, tonight's the night that I'm going to give him a look up on the top line when he's been dreadful, turning pucks over, killing him in the D zone. Like, part of the direct result of why the third puck goes in is on Domi, Riley, and then Myers, who can't clear the net front when it's like a 5'6" guy in front. But either way, it just, that was an awful night, man. Like, that, it just, this is a bunch of baddies in a row. And I thought, I don't know about you, but I thought you saw the like frustration on the faces of the Stars tonight. Like, Matthews and Marner specifically, when they were given looks of just like the close-ups of their face, they looked annoyed. And I guess I like that to a certain degree, but God, do something about it.
Yeah. So it's three losses in a row here. And, you know, it can definitely feel like the sky is falling talk here, but I really do. I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't have some concerns here.
Yeah. But like, again, though, like, I hate this stuff because it's like, I know Toronto is a reactionary market and I know that we cover this team on a day-to-day basis. And so it's like the narratives can feel like a roller coaster at times. And it's like, you know, we get accused of like sky is falling talk from time to time, but it's like, they've played poorly in these games. Like, they haven't looked good.
Just,
there's been some
I'm
trouble.
Saying,
like, call I it. Like it's, you see it.
I feel like there's some warning signs here.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And the thing that concerns me the most is even in the games that they beat, the like earlier in the week, you know, when they won their fifth straight, it's not like they're running it up on teams. Like, they're barely beating the Flyers and, you know, they're squeaking by these teams with great goaltending. And I don't know. It's just the disinterest from your, I guess, what your second highest paid guy now before Marner gets his contract when it comes to William Nylander. Like, that's concerning to me. And, you know, it's all about how you react to a coach. And it's clear to me that he's not reacting well here to the coaching or whatever it is. Like, I haven't seen him look this. This is like a 2017 or 18 Willie stretch here. This is like a totally disengaged, disinterested, turning the puck over every time the puck touches his stick, not making the right play, no moving his feet. And I have to wonder, like, is he loving this with Berube? Like, is he loving this style? Is it a good mix? Like, I really do.
Well, again, he got 22 minutes tonight. So, like, what are you crying about? Like,
well, no, you're right. You're right. You're right. He played him way too much. I thought he probably shouldn't have played most of the third period. I thought, like, I sent her a tweet and said, what do you got to do to get benched around here? Like, it's just, it's remarkable. But I haven't really, in the past couple of years, he hasn't had this long a stretch of disinterested. This is a bad one.
Yeah. No, I'm with, like, I don't even really have anything to add. The only thing that I would say is, like, he has had lulls and you do see him usually break out of them. And I don't think that ultimately this is what you're going to get, but like, there's no excuse for his play as of late. Like, the word that you use, disinterested, is exactly the way that he looks. There's no, again, attention to detail. It's flybys. It's fly in the zone. It's just careless with the puck. It's reckless plays. And I'll say with the other guys too, like, I thought Matthews had some moments where, like, you know, he was working on the boards and, you know, kind of doing a few things, but nothing, no real impact. Like, no, just I'm taking the game over play. I thought Marner tonight, a lot of just hope plays, hope passes, just, you know, even on the power play there where it's like they absolutely need one and he's got a just backbreaking turnover on a moment that like feels a little bit rushed. I don't know if it's because they obviously had an impetus with the power play of like, hey, simplify and just move the puck quickly, but he makes an egregious error. Like all of these guys played poorly tonight, and none of these guys have played well basically since that first or second game that Matthews came back.
Yeah, the game against Philly, the second game against Philly, before they went -6, the top line was unbelievable in that game. Mm-hmm. Like really, really good. And listen, you can say that like they're playing Philly, but they were really good in those games, and they really, really.
Sure, I'm just saying that's two games essentially since Matthews has been back where you felt like, okay, that was really good.
Yeah, his first game back on the Saturday night against Boston, they were mm-hmm. unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And then they were really good in the second game against Philly. But outside of that, it hasn't been great. Like, they really do need to try something drastic, to try something different. You are a new coach of this team. You are the guy that's supposed to come in here. And the whole reason you were brought in here is because I don't think stylistic in terms of, you know, the X's and O's, you're a more defensive guy. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But the biggest reason was like the holding the Stars accountable and doing. We've talked about this a million times. It's time to try something different than the thing you always try. Mm-hmm. Try them on three different lines. Try them on four different lines, bud. Like, this is January.
Dude, the most obvious thing to me is three different lines.
Try.
Three different lines, two different power plays.
Obviously.
Three different lines, two different power plays. Take a peek at it. See if it wakes guys up. And if you're going to make moves like putting Steven Lorenz up on the top line, which again reeks of desperation, it should already tell you that like you've exhausted a move already, right? That you've done something desperate, but then at least stick to your gun a little bit and see if it's actually going to have some staying power. See if you can actually engage a different guy on the roster than the usual suspects that we're seeing. It's just like, you know, what do you call it always? Team A, Team B? Feels like, how much of Team A, Team B did it feel tonight?
There was maybe the worst one of the year.
Yeah.
In a game where you really are like, you know, it's 4-1 with 8 minutes left in the game. That is the perfect opportunity for a newish coach to send a message. Like, I'm not sure there is a more perfect opportunity to give a you-know-what whack to your Stars who are not playing well and who need a wake-up call. There can't be a better opportunity than that. Where
so
you really have
theory on this?
You really have no chance to come back in this game. What is it?
So I think I mentioned on this show, or maybe I mentioned on my podcast, but it's like, I'm getting the sense, like the way that Berube is handling all this, where there has just been like no quote, right? And it's not like he's Mr. Quote. And we knew that he wasn't going to be Sheldon Keefe, where it was going to be soft and purposeless stuff, right? Like, we knew he wasn't going to throw guys under the bus. That's not who he is. But the media, as much as it gets criticized, it is a weapon for some of these players. And we know that it has been effective with players in the past too, right? So like, it is something at your disposal and he hasn't really used it. But when it comes to the like ingratiate it, like the allowing William Nylander to play full 2 minutes on the power play and immediately putting Matthews and Marner back together and then not splitting them up after a game where they're -5, right? And two games where they're -7 combined. I'm trying to imagine a scenario where if you're Craig Berube, you're trying to like gain the trust and the full buy-in of these Stars. And part of that has been coming, like his approach is, well, I'm just going to kind of let them sort of have it their way, let it run its course as long as possible. And then, I don't know, once I feel like they trust me more, that's when I start to get maybe a little bit more aggressive. Like, I'm glad to a degree he hasn't done it up until this point. But I think that the frustration people are starting to feel right now and the stuff that like you're talking about and that we're discussing is it's like, yeah, okay, you got to have their trust now. Like you got to make your moves. You got to do the things that are right for the team. And if you are Mr. Accountability, like one of two things is happening here. Either Craig Berube's looking at all of this stuff that we're talking about and he's saying like, it's not a big deal. They're snake bit, you know, bad bounces, kind of reiterating that same excuse culture that the Leafs have had year over year that we're trying to get rid of. Or he's just trying to save his bullets and use it at the right time. But it's starting to feel like now is the time, regardless of where they are in the standings. And in fact, I would actually argue that where they are in the standings, it's more important to do something like that right now, right? Like, have the standard be the standard kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, use a bullet when you're perceived in a good spot, but you don't feel like you're doing well enough as a team. and it kind of carries more water that you say, holy crap, we're in first, but this isn't good enough. Like you said, make the standard the standard.
Yeah, like I just used one of those bullets against Anaheim in game like three, right? And I'm glad Berube didn't do something like that because that would have felt like
we're getting to bullet time here.
That's what I'm saying is we're in the bullet zone. Like fire a bullet or two here, buddy. Like we're ready to see you shoot the gun.
This isn't the golden gun here, bud. You got more on or two to shoot here. Like you can fire off a couple before the end of this year, but it really does feel like they're dragging and they need something. Like, listen, there's some built-in excuses here. Ton of hockey, compressed schedule, Four Nations baseball. Of course, like, but I think those are valid reasons, and I think they're playing more hockey in a shorter period of time than they usually do. That's true, but all the more reason to use other ways to motivate. And going in the media today and talking at practice, being like, we've actually been 23% over the last 10 games on our power play, isn't exactly what I want to hear from the coach of Mr. Accountability, right? Like, he's like, well, you know, over the last 10 games, we've actually been 23%. It's like, that's Sheldon Keefe talk.
It's like that's been the organization's talk is, we got goalied, we got bad bounces, bad ref, bad call. Oh, we just got to stick with the process. It's like, okay, man, well, the process has resulted in this entire era having one playoff win. So what are you so afraid to tinker with? No, I'm totally with you, man. And yeah, like I frankly, to the stuff about people thinking like the sky is falling, like I don't care. I think that if you're a real fan of this team and that you're watching this and like, you know, I'm not going to tell anybody how to fan, you do your thing. But yeah, I think you're starting to see those same old patterns crop up. And it's especially concerning when the offseason move was like, this is what happens when your big move is the coach and you publicly state that you feel as though his big strength is going to be accountability culture. And then you're over half a way through the season and you're not really seeing signs of that. And some of the same trouble markers are starting to pop up.
Well, yeah. And it's, you know, you see, I've seen stuff like, oh, you know, Florida loses and, you know, they can lose to bad teams too. Yeah. They won the cup. This isn't like a 1 year thing with the Leafs.
I think there would be a pretty big grace period here if they had won the cup. Yeah, in fact, yeah, it would be really tough to do Leafs talk because we'd be like,
surprisingly, hey, actually, that's like, we can't do it if they win the cup. Like, the show's over because we just would be come on here and be like, yeah, but they won the cup, so who cares? Right? Like,
pretty much.
We actually can't have them win. Like, it's terrifying. It would end our show.
We'll just pivot into something else.
The run would be fantastic. Then we just do Jays. Jays. Well, but that one's cornered by a lot of different people, so I can't take that. We'd have to be like, I don't know. TFC talk, not, but the numbers might hurt on that one. Yeah. Anyways,
pretty tough. Argos talk, actually. That's the pivot.
There it is. Duh. Anyways, I think that the having the same guys for so long here and doing the same thing every year, now just having a different coach, it's just, you have way less leeway because, lack of a better term, people are sick of this crap.
Yeah,
and they're
of course
sick of the patterns, and they've watched this series before, and we're at the part of the soap opera that, like, you've watched a million times where they're doing the thing where they're checking out and they're not taking accountability, and people just Marner gives a bad quote, Morgan Riley is, you know, playing badly, like Willie Nylander's going through his bad stretch, like people are sick of the beats of this core, and this is always what our take was. If you're ever going to shake it up, just to have something different, so it looks different. Like, think about how great they looked when Matthews went out, because everybody's contributing and everybody's playing in a different role and all this stuff. And it's like, as soon as Matthews gets back in there, it's the two pairs, Tavares and Nylander and Matthews and Marner, and it's team A and it's team B again. It's just, people are sick of watching them do the same things over and over, and they're good and they win, they beat teams, like they'll be in the playoffs, all that. But like, the beats of it are all the same. That's why people are sick.
But it's not. But here's why it's not the same, though. Here's why it's not the same. And this is like what I led going into the season in terms of your level of optimism, is that I'm sorry, but the standard should be higher now for the Stars, given that two of them have already gotten their astronomical deals, right? And Marner is wanting one. And why have they gotten their astronomical deals? Well, they're like second astronomical deals, I guess, is that they are older. Like, they're supposed to be in their primes. There's supposed to be a maturity that comes with them. And this is like, if you want to take it a step further, for me, this is actually where Austin Matthews' captaincy has to kind of matter. because if you're going to give him that C, I think a lot of it is like ceremonial, right? Like we agree being the captain isn't the same today as it was, you know, in the 1970s.
Remember Keith Pelley's like, we're not trying to sell jerseys here. We're trying to win the cup. And then immediately they're like, buy the new Matthews captain jersey.
But but don't you want to feel like he's taken over games? Like, don't you want to feel like his presence a little bit more consistently night in, night out? And like, man, I just
one quote ever out of him.
Well, I watch Nathan MacKinnon, I watch Connor McDavid, and I watch like the guys that he's compared to, right? Like the Four Nations is all about like Matthews versus McDavid.
Yeah.
Like, you, do you see this many times when like, you know, McDavid disappears from an Oilers game and like you just don't like feel him for the vast majority of the hockey game?
Very rare.
No, very rare. That's what I'm saying. And with Matthews, and I know he's had the injury this year, so clearly you give him
game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals when that happens. For McDavid.
Yeah, like, I'm just saying, like, I want to see what, if the accountability culture was supposed to be like bringing a new coach and have a new captain, then I want to see those two guys in sync. And I want to see those two stars or those three stars, sorry, like play their asses off on more nights than not and kind of carry this team on more nights than not to be able to understand that if they are going to split a power play or split the lines, that it's not going to be a big deal to deal with it, go out there and prove somebody wrong. Or to dominate. Like, I just don't think that's too much to ask for, especially at this part of the, like, the development curve for these guys. Like, it's time for them to start to own it. Otherwise, it's like, you're going to get this from people. Yeah. Just the overall frustration whenever the bad losses happen.
Well said. Can we end referendum talk now? I got a couple other things in this game I actually wanted to talk
about. Yeah, sure, I don't think it's referendum talk for me. It's just like, it's frustration talk. Like, I hate watching them play when it's like this. I feel like I'm wasting my time.
Ref talk?
Yeah, it's a horrible call.
Oh boy, that is one of the worst ones of the year. Like we've seen some bad ones, but boy, oh boy, this is a tough one. Like I don't know what he's supposed to do here. Like it's called playing defense. Like
I didn't think that was the call when the whistle blew.
No, it had to be something else. It had to be behind the play or like a retaliatory thing or something.
Yeah,
like,
I just thought, there's something that's out of the frame that I didn't see or something that happened. And then all of a sudden they were like, no, that was the play. Like, yeah, you know me. I don't talk about the refs, but like that was awful like that. And it led to the 2-1 goal and it definitely altered the course of the game. So it's the number one excuse for tonight.
Yeah,
I hope I mean, they're going to talk about it and it is valid, but I hope they don't overplay it tonight because, as much as it did change the game, it wasn't the story of the game to me. You know what I mean?
Berube, want to call that slash and Tavares, but let everything else go? I'm not going to get into the referees. Sounded like you got into the referees there.
Yeah, that's literally me. That's literally me on ref talk.
He did ref talk. Yeah, like, we don't talk about the refs, but boy, they suck.
Yeah, but boy, you could have let everything else go. Well, I'm not going to talk about the refs.
And like, if that's your standard, later in the like Marner gets absolutely hauled down. It's close. Like it couldn't have been like if that is your standard, you gotta call it. But listen, I don't even want the Leafs go on the power play. I hate watching it. Like I'm like, they're more dangerous on the penalty kill than they are on the power play. I dread their power play. So everyone's like, oh, they should have just let them play 5-on-5. I don't want to watch
The first power play was good, don't you? They hit two posts. It was the puck was moving.
Yeah.
I mean, buddy, it's so bad that that's the standard now. Like, hey, the bar is just look okay and don't completely kill the momentum. Yep. They could have easily been up 2-0 on that power play. I thought that Ottinger was scrambly. And I will admit, I will have accountability culture.
Okay.
I did send you a text saying that Ottinger has never made a save against the Leafs. And no, then
he was 0-for-50 this year on shots against the Leafs.
Man. And even on that first goal, it's obviously a snipe by Matthews, but he's way off.
Yeah, he gave him a lot of space. Lost to Matthews.
Yeah.
Like, it's just cheated hard.
Yeah. It was bad. So I sent you an Ottinger shot text. And then from that point forward, he saved everything. And I went,
He's pretty good. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Yeah. America might have good goalie there.
Yeah. Also, I loved the goal by Matthew Shane.
Yeah,
God, that's a sweet goal. The legs. And Mike Johnson on the broadcast did a great job of talking about how the skate, like that's how the blocking out of the poke check from Wall, because he got his skate in the way and he couldn't get the puck to it. And he puts the stick through his legs around the stick up into the top of the net. That's elite, elite skill, and to be able to pull that off as smoothly and quickly as he did. That's a nice one. Duchesne's had a good career here, man. And he's like, he's really founded again with the Stars. He's reinvigorated there. Good for Duchesne, because he was like the career loser guy when he was playing with Colorado. And then he went to crappy Nashville, and like people were having questions about him after he played on that. He played on the 2014 Canada team.
Yeah, right? he got the Grim Reaper knock meme.
Yeah, he did. He really did.
All the dead bodies in the doorway and the
Grim Reaper. It was him.
The next one was him. Like, he was that guy. So,
no, yeah, he's turned it around.
I think he's shaking good tonight. Yeah, and by the way, that just like to add the penalty on OEL. I don't think like that was a penalty. Like, he drags him down. He was pissed off. Like to third goal, like the one that ended the period before this one happened. Like, because we did ref talk. Yeah, the one on Tavares is horrific, but that one. At first glance, when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, you're going to call another one? Are you serious? And then they showed the replay, and I went, oh, okay. Because like OEL was bitching about it, right? So
you know, OEL is great at? Taking a penalty and then getting mad at the guy for like diving.
Yeah.
He'll just like, as soon as a guy does it, he'll go over to them and he'll be like, dive, you're diving. Like, I love that move personally. Like, that's one of my favorite. I've done that a million times in beer league. Like, what a dive by you. But it's a great move, but he does it a lot.
He's a are you serious guy?
Yes. Yeah. Are you serious guy?
Are you serious?
Like, he skates over the guy, sometimes gives him a cross check. Like, he really hates when he takes penalties and blames the other person.
Yeah. So he did do that. That was good. Yeah. What did you think, by the way? Just kind of a throw. Are you ready to do rapid fire?
Yeah, let's rapid fire it up.
What'd you think of Jamie Benn taking that shot on 34?
Loved it.
Yeah. Loved it. I loved it for Jamie Benn, but did you
want to hate it for Matthews? But like, I mean, obviously I shouldn't say I loved it. I mean, I absolutely hate it that he can just do that, but it's a perfect spot. If you're him, like, it's on a power play, got five forwards out there, all the pretty much softest guys, none of them ever fight, none of them ever do anything, and you got one of the best players in the world, and you just skate by him, and you just give him a shot. And if you'll remember correctly, Matthews, like, some of the original, like, talk about what happened with his, you know, his back was when Jamie Benn gave him a shot. I don't know how many years ago that was now, but two or three, he gave him a shot. Clearly doesn't like him much, doesn't really think a whole lot of him, and he always goes after him. And if you're a Dallas Star, you love that. Like,
that's you love it because you feel like your captain.
And that's the thing with Jamie Benn. He's like, I'm the toughest guy. Reeves hasn't fought all year. He's not going to do anything. I'm the toughest guy on this ice. Like, I'm just going to cross-check Matthews completely unchecked. Nothing's going to happen. That's an obvious one for him. He's got to take that.
Yeah. And just physical night for the physical hockey game. Second period was horrid, like really just dry. Felt my eyes glazing over at times. But Ben has the huge hit on Marner, and then Domi gets just absolutely crunched by Dumba too.
Great hit.
Yeah.
Great hit. I mean, I did have Mark Bell vibes on Alfredson.
No, it can't be just throwing.
Well, listen.
Yeah.
It's tough because you're playing hockey, you have a fractured cheekbone, right? And you got the bubble on, you got the fishbowl. Mm-hmm. You still got to play your game, but it is tough that like you can just go headhunting a guy and he's like, I can't fight you, bud. Sorry, I got a broken cheekbone. Like, it's a tough move. I get it. You have to hit him. It's a fine play, like totally clean. Got the arm up a little bit, but no head contact. Knocks him on his ass. He had his head down. But like when you go to answer and you're like, what? I can't do anything about it. It's a tough look, and that's why Sens fans hate Mark Bell so much.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
With the bird cage on.
Yeah, and I think Domi's even saying something to him
about that,
because he points at his face and he's like,
what am I supposed to do?
Well, and I like that Domi's the kind of player that gets up and tries to fight his own battle, but also how mad can you be when you're Max Domi when it's like you'd kill for that play?
For sure, and like you're skating through the neutral zone with your heads in your feet.
Literal epitome of puck watching. Like, the puck is kind of like dribbling by him, boom, staring right at it, and he gets crunched.
And like, I think I saw somebody in the chat being like, how do you not respond to that? It's like, you know, he doesn't, because the puck was on his stick and he separated him, like, and it wasn't violent. He got right up. It's hockey. Anyways, Philip Myers went over there and had a little conversation with him too there.
Yeah, again though, what are you gonna do? The guy's wearing a bubble.
So Philip Myers is addicted to hammering the puck. Like, all he wants to do is hammer the puck. Zero finesse. That puck comes near him, bud. Mm-hmm. Hammer time. Just wants to blast it. Put him on the power play. Give it a try. Why not? They've tried everything else. They got $50 million where they're the worst power play in the league. Put Myers out there. Let him hammer him on the net. See what happens. Why not?
If you let Myers on the power play,
put Lorenz on the top line, bud. Why not put Why not?
I'm just saying that you do that, and you got to trade Morgan Riley the next day. Like, you got to trade Morgan Riley because you can't let him. You can't let him show face around town knowing that, like, he lost power play time to Philip Myers. Let me see here. Anything else?
Get the hammer. Fill up the hammer, Myers, like a darts player. Get him on the power play.
This has gone too far. I got nothing else. I went through it. Yeah. I got nothing.
Yeah, I'm good. On that note, we can end it.
On that note, subscribe to the podcast, leave 5 stars, hit the thumbs up, follow on Twitter and Instagram at JD Bunkers, at Sammy McKee. And
it does suck though. I do because their next game Thursday night, big one after the Keefe Bowl, return to Toronto. Mm-hmm. Not the game you wanted them slumping going into. You know, fast team coming into Toronto. And, you know, I don't know if they were on a bit of a losing streak coming into the year. I don't know if they've turned it around. I haven't been following the Devils as closely. But I just know that they were on a 5-game losing tank streak because Frank the Tank was, like, losing his mind for 2 weeks straight. So I knew they weren't.
That's your Devils update, guys.
My Devils barometer. But they're a good team. They're fast. They're coming in here hungry. Tons of money on the board. Leafs slumping. Has a chance to be bad for the Berube crowd on Thursday. Leafs need one. Like, that is a response game. And maybe that's what gets Willie going. Hey? Maybe. He's like, oh, that's like, maybe he wakes up because Keefe's in the building. Robertson's buzzing because the guy, you know, had his best game all year when he was playing against Keefe in the second game of the year. So maybe I'm looking for anything, but I'm a little worried about that one Thursday night. I am.
All right. We'll see you after that one.